Thank you so much for joining us for this week's message from Real Life Community, where we talk about connecting with God and others, growing in Christ-likeness, and sharing God's life with the world. My name is Sarah Comer, and I serve each week as Connections Pastor, making sure that you know that there is a God and a community that loves you and wants to go through the seasons of life with you. You can find us at reallifecommunity.org, and we would love to meet you on Facebook or Instagram. Until then, we hope this message meets you right where you are and helps you know just how deep the Father's love is for you.
Hey, it is always a pleasure to bring the Word of God to you every Sunday morning. Not every Sunday morning, because I get to share it with an amazing preacher. Actually, a couple amazing preachers, but I have to say one of them is my favorite. And so I'll give that one to her. Let me just recap. We're wrapping up a three-week series where we've been talking about for all people. For all people. And we believe that God came for all people. And God is, God's not very, he doesn't have like these different groups. Like, they're my in-group and they're my out-group. In fact, throughout the Gospels, you'll find that most of the people who felt like they were on the in-crowd were actually on the out, and those who were told that they were on the out, they were actually in. So the kingdom of God is always flipped upside down. So I want us to be remembering that God is for all people, which means we should be for all people. But what does that mean? What does it mean for us to be for all people when we live in a world where we know we don't always agree with people? Have you run into anyone this week that you don't agree with? Raise your hand. That's it? Man, I am hanging on the wrong people. Sarah, that was just an amen. That wasn't a cry. That was an amen. He's just getting started early. So, have any of you heard something this week from another person or groups of people that you don't agree with? Yeah. Come on now. For those of you online, you can't see this, but they're not very mobile today. They're all sitting in their seats. But God is for all people. But how do we be for all people when we don't always agree? I mean, there are people that maybe you don't even like. There's people that you avoid. But at the core of God's good news for all people is that people like us are going to be for them. But it's so easy, and we can very quickly get to the point where we realize how difficult that really is. So our first week, we talked about how there are all sorts of different in our world. When I was growing up on the mission field in Hong Kong, I went to a high school of about 400 people, and there were 40 different nationalities there. I mean, there were a few that probably looked like more of the larger group, but man, there was 40 different nationalities. Our high school was like a microcosm, which is a fancy word for just like a small version of a big reality. I went to school with people who I didn't talk like them. I didn't eat like them. And man, at lunchtime, they'd open all of the stuff that mom and dad had sent with them. And I'm like, whoa, you're going to eat that? They're like, yeah, it's good. But you know what? I got to understand a little bit about what it means to live in a world full of different. Sometimes in our own country, we lose sight of the fact that there's a whole lot of different in our country. In fact, it probably is that the reality is that we were a country founded on different. And today is really no different. But I think one of the issues we have today is we have just gotten really good at putting up walls to divide the different so that we can maybe feel better about living with a group of people because at least I know them better. It becomes really hard to tear down the walls that separate different because we're not sure what we're going to do when we rub shoulders with different. That was week one. Week two, last week, we talked about the poor, the widow, the orphan, those who find themselves in crisis, and how do we be for them? Leviticus even talks about, even includes in here the foreigner and reminding us that every single one of us is a foreigner in some way, shape, or form, and it can be easy for us to just be in our lane, and we forget that there's a lot of people out there who just who need a people who are for them, who are simply living with an awareness of their reality. And this week, I want to talk just a little bit about, okay, we know that there's different out there. We know that there are walls that sometimes separate us. We know all of this, and we know that God has called us to be for all people, but what does it actually mean to go? What does it mean to get up out of your seats in just a few minutes and go and live life with others? For those of you who are going to join us for lunch today at Uncle Mario's, I want to give you a challenge. Remember, this is a challenge for everyone, but I'm going to be watching the Mario folk. We're going to walk into a restaurant, and there's going to be people who are going to serve us. I want you to say, God, what do I need to know about these people? There may be other guests there at the restaurant, and I want you to say, God, what do I need to know about them? Then God might say nothing. You know, they're not on your radar. They're on someone else's radar. I've assigned them to someone else. But when we begin praying constantly, God, show me the people that are right around me. Help me to be aware and to sense what's going on around me. I've had the privilege this year of serving as one of the assistant coaches for Blackman High School, track cross country. And I've always loved coaching, especially runners. They're a different breed. And there's something about them that I just resonate with. We've had some conversations with the coaches recently as we reflect upon this year. And I said to them yesterday as we were standing between events, I said, you know, there have been moments this year where I have felt like I noticed something in a student, but I just kind of like put it to the side and said, no, that's probably, you know, the bad bologna sandwich I had for lunch. You know, I so easily kind of push that off to the side. But as I reflect on the whole year, I realize, no, I did pick up on something that I should have stuck with. Now, give yourself grace, because you're never going to get it 100% of the time. But I'll tell you what, as we become responsive to what God is nudging us with, it's going to become easier to be for all people, because we're going to have hearts for these people. And we're going to want God's best for them. We're going to want God's real life for them, because we understand that God's real life completely trumps the other kind of real life that people have to endure all too often. I want to go to Matthew chapter 28. It's a passage of scripture you've heard before. And, you know, these are moments when I say, God, do I really need to read the scripture again to people? And he's like, yeah, you do, because sometimes they just don't get it. That's not a slam on you. It's just a slam on humanity. We just don't get it sometimes. So Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20 reads this. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some of them doubted. Have you ever been there? Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is the word of God for the people of God. And we all say, thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad that God still loves those of us who have doubts? Aren't you glad that you don't have to be perfect for God to love you? Then why is it that we expect people to be perfect for us to love them? And can I just say this? I am the first culprit among us. I'm the first of us. who recognizes that sometimes I expect out of other people what God never expected out of me. I don't want to suggest that God doesn't expect anything of us. I think God does expect some pretty significant things from people. And I think we find ourselves in a day when many people want to rewrite that story so that it's easier for them. But I think it's true that people like you and I need to recognize that even we doubt, and God is gracious to us. We need to be gracious to others. With all the authority in heaven and on earth that had been given to him, Jesus is very specific about what he wants us to be wrapped up in. He wants us to be wrapped up in the business and the life of making disciples out of all people. What's a disciple? A disciple is one who follows Jesus. Now, I would hope that you all could say, yeah, I'm a disciple. I am following Jesus. I'm following his lead. I am following his word that's at work in my life. I am saying yes to Jesus more today than I did yesterday. And I'm going to be that person who says yes more to Jesus tomorrow than I am today. It's this life of being molded and shaped and formed into the likeness of Jesus so that we can be his tools in our world. We can be those bridges. But Jesus is very specific. He wants us to go and make disciples. And I love the word here, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That last song that we sang, I don't know if I should say this, but I'm going to. Pastors have problems, okay? Can you just say amen? Thank you. I feel better. Pastors oftentimes are always thinking about how things fit our theological frameworks. You know, when we're singing a song, when we're having conversations, we're always like, okay, how does that work? Does that work? Do we agree with that? And this song, the last song that we played, that we sang, my head and my heart was going crazy on it because it's everything we believe. And it talks about this spirit that is at work within us, that is carrying us, this Jesus who was there yesterday and today and tomorrow, and this God who is orchestrating all things together for his good. And what is exciting to me about this is that we get to be a part of what God is doing. Yeah. You get to be a part of what the God of all creation is up to. That should excite you. But does it? We get to be the bridges for all people so that someone might have a bridge to cross from their uncertainty to their certainty in Christ. Their waywardness in life to finding a home with Christ. We get to be those bridges. We live in a world where there has never been a time in the entire history of humanity where it is easier to reach the end of the earth with more resources than we have at our disposal right now. There's never been a time like today. It's easier for you to reach across the globe today than it was a decade ago. And for some of you, man, I'm going to date myself. I don't feel old, but this might make me feel old. I remember when the fax machine came out. I dated myself, right? It was a vital tool for us in Hong Kong in ministry because it allowed us to communicate easier between the mission field and headquarters. We today have this ability, but my question is, are we reaching out? Are you utilizing the tools and resources that God is giving you to do what God's called you to do, to reach all people? What's interesting to me is throughout the week after a Sunday, we get to hop on and look at the reach of our streaming that we're doing. So for all of you who are watching online, hello. Whether it's today or later in the week, hello. We are glad that you are with us. And it's just amazing how many people and how many different kinds of people are watching our services. They get to be a part of real life. In some ways, the ends of the earth have really come to us. You know, you don't have to hop on a plane and go to the furthest reaches. You can actually reach there because they've come to us. The internet has helped that. But actually, can you look around at the neighborhoods that you live in? The world is moving in next door to you. I have an amazing family that lives next door to me. And I don't agree with them. Their faith and my understanding of faith are very different. But that does not stop me from loving them as Jesus would. And they are coming to respect me simply because I love them. There was a lady at our last neighborhood in Michigan, loved her to death. She was the only Muslim in our neighborhood. And Wafa became one of our best friends. She and her kids lived in the neighborhood. Theirs was the first house in the neighborhood. And Wafa, this great little Muslim gal, she began referring to us as her pastors. How does that happen? How does a Muslim gal refer to these Christian pastors as her pastor? She actually referred people to us. She became like one of our parishioners. And the thing that blew me away was the day that I walked into the kitchen at our church. We were hosting a community funeral that just devastated our community. A young girl in high school had fallen to her death. And I walked in to say thank you to all the volunteers in the kitchen. And there was Wafa with her hijab on, serving next to our ladies because of a bridge that had been built. Christy and I have been for all people. That's just who we are, because that's who God has called us to be. We know we are to go. Every one of us. We've heard the words, right? You've heard these words. But do we go, though? In what ways are you part of setting out from here and actively a part of reaching the ends of the earth? You can do this through your offerings, through your prayers, through notes that you write to missionaries and emails and Facebook posts that you can reach out to missionaries. I'm glad that our local and our missions president is also our district missions president, who is actually also our regional missions president. And if you want to know the structure of the Church of the Nazarene, we can talk about that later. But, and she's going to hate that I say this, Teresa's a big deal. But it's not because of any office she holds. It's because she loves the world that God has put her in. She leads by example. I love that we are a church that supports global missions, and a portion, 5.5% of everything that comes in through the offering plate every week goes to fund the global mission. Your dollars are being invested in the global mission of God. This is exciting. But you know what? You've also sent people out. I think about the Gillies. I got an email from them this week, and they're doing good, and they're out there. They're serving the kingdom in another country. They've gone. We've sent the Millers. I'm excited to meet the Millers. They're coming here next month. They are actually returning from the mission field, and they're in a bit of a transition period in their life, but we get to have them here. And so if you will just hang on, after I give the benediction at the end of service, don't leave because I want to say something to you. So just tuck that away. People upon people upon people are being sent out. Don't depend on them to carry the load for you. The Millers have been out there, and they've been doing what they love doing. But let's not depend on the Millers to carry your load. Don't depend on your pastors to carry your load for you. God has called you, and God has equipped you with the Holy Spirit to go and be for all people. And here's one thing that we've got to get. You say, well, I just don't have the resources. I don't have the time. I don't have the talents. I don't have the treasures. I don't have the testimony that God could use on the mission field. And I have a great theologically sound word for that. You ready? It's Greek. Hogwash. Hogwash. You are a child of the king, which means you have access to the resources of the king. The question is, how are you stewarding those resources? We have the ability to go and do and be. But I want to read for you out of Acts chapter 1, verse 8 real quick. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Let me just rephrase that for you. Maybe that's hard to understand. You will be my witnesses, telling people everywhere about me in Rutherford County, throughout Tennessee, I'm going to put a blank there. I'm going to come back to it. And to the ends of the earth. You know what's interesting about Samaria? Samaria was that part of the area that God's people, the people that were on the inn, would never go through. Even if it was the shortest path, they would always go around it because the Samaritans were questionable people. God's people didn't agree with them. The Jews didn't agree with them. So they would go around them. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That blank that I left there, how would you fill in that blank? What is that place that you avoid? What is that part of Tennessee that you have no desire to go to? Where's that place in Rutherford County that you will make sure that you drive around instead of going through? How about that place at work? Who sits in that cubicle that you make sure you avoid like the plague? How about that neighbor? You don't want that neighbor to catch your eye because then they're going to want to talk. And you don't want to talk to them. What does your Samaria look like? Define it. And then remember, God's called you to go there. To be for all people is not to be for your Jerusalems and your Judeas and your ends of the world without your Samarias. People need Jesus. All people need Jesus. As I have been wrestling, as Christy and I have been talking about, what is the vision for this place, this people, this church, you? I said to her the other day, I said, Chris, someone asked me a question the other day, and my answer to it that day was this. The question was, what's the main thing? What's the most important thing for your church? And that day, my answer to that was this: people need Jesus. And I began fleshing that out, and I realized very easily we can get to the point where we say, well, they need Jesus. I don't need Jesus. Church, can we just realize we're real life? We need Jesus as much as they need Jesus. Let's not be that people who says, I've got it all, and they need what I've got. Which may be true, but let's get rid of the arrogance that comes along with faith sometimes, especially religion, and let's realize that God is sending us to be bearers, carriers of this thing that God wants to let loose throughout all of humanity. All people need Jesus. This is like the underlying truth about real life. What is the point of God's message if it doesn't also have a tangible and practical effect on the lives of the people we're coming in contact with? That's why I love NA. We don't, as a church, just say, hey, we love addicts. We say, we love addicts. You're welcome inside. That's what I love about real life. We don't say, hey, we'll throw some food out there. No, we create a box where people can come and in dignity take what they need and leave what they don't. We get to be a part of not just the spiritual transformation of people's lives, but we also get to be a part of the physical daily transformation of people's lives. That's why I love the highway bags that the Hodges have helped put together for us. They're on the table out back, so if you've used up your highway bags this week, go get more highway bags. If you weren't here last week, you're wondering, what's a highway bag? It's a Ziploc bag with some different nutrients in it, some food, some snacks. So when you run across someone at an intersection who's asking for money or food or something, you have something to give them. We prayed over those this Tuesday, and we want you to take those and give those away. Here's the main point. If you've heard nothing today, hear this. We are called to go in the power of the Spirit and be for all people. You may be afraid of how messy that's going to get. Can you trust Jesus with the mess? And know that God is the one behind it all. Will you be for all people today? Stand with me. Will you be for all people when you leave this room? You can't just be for all the people in this room. You got to be for all people, even those outside the room. Will you be for all people when your food is not coming to the table quick enough? Will you be for all people when your waiter or waitress is giving you horrible service? Will you be for that person? Will you be for all people when that neighbor annoys you one more time and the dog just won't stop yapping? Will you be for them? Will you be for college students? Will you be for... Will you be for all ages, no matter how valuable they may be to you? Will you be for all people? You might say, well, Pastor, I don't know. I don't know that I'm ready to be for all people. Can I just make something very clear to you today? If you choose not to be for all people, you are in some way saying, God, not now. Not now. My way is more important than your way right now. Lord Jesus, I pray that you help us. God, I pray that you would place a heavy burden upon our hearts here at Real Life for all people. Lord, may you help us take steps off the cliff that sometimes looms in front of us because we're just not sure what's going to come along with us building a bridge to that person. But Lord, help us just to trust you with it all. Dear God, I pray that we would be that people that above all else remembers that you were for us and we're going to be for them. Help us know how to do that. Equip us, Lord, with the resources and the abilities to have good conversations. Help us to know help us to know what to say. You promised that if we would open our mouths, you would give us the words to say. And we claim that today. So Jesus, I'm excited that I get to touch someone's life this week in your name, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I get to be a part of what you're doing. So Lord, go with us today. In your name, amen. Church, the best place for you to respond to this message is out there. So church, go in the power of the Spirit and be the bridge to all people. Until we meet again, be
Thank you for joining us today. We would love for you to join us in person. Our address is 2022 East Main Street in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. If you'd like to make a donation to keep our podcast ministry going, you can do so online at reallifecommunity.org/give. Thanks again for listening.